Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily for Friday, July 24th. I am your host, and we have a packed show for you as we head into the weekend.
I am your co-host, and before we get into the news, we have to talk about this weather transition. If you stepped outside this morning, you might have thought we were in for a chilly, gloomy Friday.
That is right. It is currently sitting at 52 degrees with completely overcast clouds. And with that east-southeast wind, it feels even a bit cooler. But do not cancel those outdoor evening plans just yet.
Exactly. We are looking at a massive turnaround over the next 30 hours. By 3 p.m. today, we will be pushing 68 degrees. And as we head into the evening, those clouds are going to break entirely. We are forecasting a high of 83 degrees by 9 p.m. with crystal clear skies.
That is a 30-degree swing in just a matter of hours. Tomorrow is looking even better. We will be waking up around 60 degrees and hitting 79 with clear skies by Saturday afternoon. It is shaping up to be a classic, beautiful Michigan summer weekend.
So layer up this morning, but definitely bring the sunglasses for the drive home. We have got a lot of local news to cover today, from city ordinances to economic grants, so let us dive right in.
Let us start with a debate that has been brewing at City Hall for weeks now, and it really strikes at the heart of what kind of downtown Grand Rapids wants to be. The City Commission is currently debating a brand new noise ordinance specifically targeting the downtown entertainment district.
This is a classic growing pain for any mid-sized city that is successfully revitalizing its urban core. On one hand, you have a booming residential population. We've seen so many new apartment complexes and condo conversions in the downtown area over the last decade. People want to live where the action is. But on the other hand, the action is loud. You have got bars, live music venues, outdoor patios, and late-night crowds, especially along Ionia Avenue and in the Arena District.
Exactly. And the proposed ordinance is trying to thread the needle between those two competing interests. But as you might expect, neither side is entirely happy. Let us break down the actual numbers in this proposal. The new rules would lower the acceptable decibel limit at the property line in the Central Business District down to 65 decibels after 11 p.m. on weekdays and after midnight on weekends. For context, 65 decibels is roughly the volume of a normal conversation from a few feet away, which is quite low for a bustling entertainment corridor.
And it is not just a polite request to keep it down. The enforcement mechanism here is getting a lot sharper. Under the proposed draft, fines would start at $100 for a first offense, but they scale up very quickly. A second offense jumps to $250, and any subsequent violations within a 12-month period could hit $500 a pop. For a local bar operating on tight margins, a couple of noise complaints on a busy Friday night could wipe out their profit for the evening.
That is exactly the argument coming from the business community. We have heard from several venue owners who say this ordinance is overly punitive and could stifle the vibrant nightlife that the city has worked so hard to cultivate over the last 20 years. They argue that when people choose to move to an entertainment district, there has to be an assumption of a certain level of ambient noise. You cannot move next to a concert venue and then complain that you hear bass guitars at 10 p.m. at night.
But the residents push back on that narrative. Representatives from the Hartside Neighborhood Association and residents in the Monroe North area have been very vocal at recent commission meetings. They point out that the noise is not just ambient crowd chatter. It is massive subwoofers, unpermitted outdoor speakers, and modified motorcycle exhausts echoing off the tall buildings well past 2 in the morning. They argue that if the city wants a sustainable downtown, where people actually put down roots and pay property taxes, residents need to be able to sleep.
Which brings us to the enforcement issue, which might be the most complicated part of this entire debate. The Grand Rapids Police Department has stated that while they will enforce the ordinances on the books, they simply do not have the manpower to act as dedicated noise monitors all night long. They are prioritizing violent crime and serious property offenses. Sending officers to measure decibel levels outside a bar takes resources away from more urgent calls.
To address that, there is an interesting amendment being floated by a couple of the city commissioners. They are looking at the possibility of creating a dedicated nighttime economy manager position, or hiring specific civilian code enforcement officers who work overnight shifts on the weekends.
This is a model that cities like Austin, Texas, and Nashville have adopted to manage their entertainment districts without tying up sworn police officers.
That would require budget approval, of course, which adds another layer of complexity. The timeline on this is moving fairly quickly, though. The public comment period for the draft ordinance remains open through the end of next week, and the City Commission is expected to hold a final vote on the measure at their meeting the following Tuesday. We will definitely be keeping an eye on how those final negotiations shake out.
Moving on to our second big story today, there is some very welcome financial news for the local business community. Kent County has just unveiled a brand new $5 million grant program specifically aimed at supporting local small businesses. This is a significant injection of capital, and it is really targeted at helping the backbone of our local economy. The county commissioners officially approved the program earlier this week, and the funds are actually being drawn from a combination of remaining federal American Rescue Plan Act funds and a surplus in the county's economic development reserves. What I find most interesting about this program is how strictly they are defining the eligibility criteria to ensure the money goes exactly where it is needed most.
Right. This is not a program for massive corporations or out-of-state franchises. To qualify, a business has to be physically located within Kent County, meaning it has to be a brick-and-mortar operation. Additionally, the business must have fewer than 50 full-time equivalent employees. So we are talking about your local independent restaurants, retail shops, neighborhood auto repair garages, and local service providers. These are the businesses that often struggle to secure traditional commercial loans for smaller capital improvements.
And the grant amounts being offered are nothing to sneeze at. Eligible businesses can apply for up to $25,000. For a small operation, $25,000 can be absolutely transformative. That is the kind of money that allows a local bakery to buy a new commercial oven, or a retail shop to completely revamp their storefront facade, or a small manufacturing outfit to upgrade their software systems. It is designed to be a catalyst for growth, not just a stopgap measure.
Now, here is the crucial piece of information for our listeners, and why we are making this a priority today. This is a look-ahead alert. The application portal for these grants officially opens this coming Monday at 8 a.m. sharp. If you are a small business owner in Kent County, you need to spend this weekend getting your paperwork organized. These grants are going to be awarded on a rolling basis. And given the demand we have seen in previous funding rounds, that $5 million is going to go very quickly.
You are absolutely right about the timeline. Business owners will need to provide their 2024 and 2025 tax returns, proof of their physical address in the county, and current employee payroll records to verify their size. The county has partnered with the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce and several local neighborhood business associations to help owners navigate the application process. If you need technical assistance, those organizations are standing by to help you get your documents in order.
Another key component of this program is its focus on equitable distribution. The county commissioners have mandated that a specific percentage of the funds be prioritized for businesses located in historically underserved areas, including the Southtown corridor and parts of the West Side. There is also a concerted effort to ensure that minority, women, and veteran-owned enterprises have dedicated access to this capital pool.
That equity lens is so important because we know those specific demographic groups often face the highest barriers when trying to access traditional banking capital. By removing the loan repayment burden and offering this as a straight grant, the county is directly investing in the long-term stability of those neighborhoods. The county expects to begin reviewing the first wave of applications by mid-August, with the goal of having the actual funds hit the recipients' bank accounts before the end of the month.
All right, we have got just a little bit of time left before we head into the weekend, so let us hit a few more stories real quick.
Sounds good. Let us get to the roundup.
Gerald R. Ford International Airport just released their travel data for June, reporting a record-breaking 350,000 passengers passing through the gates, which is a 15% year-over-year increase.
With the recent concourse expansion and the addition of several new direct flights this spring, the airport is really handling the volume well. It is a fantastic economic indicator for West Michigan tourism and business travel.
Absolutely. And airport officials say they expect July and August numbers to be just as strong, if not stronger.
We have a major traffic heads up for your Monday morning commute. MDOT is scheduled to begin extensive bridge repairs on I-96 over the Grand River starting at 6 a.m. on Monday. They are going to be reducing traffic to a single lane in each direction, which is guaranteed to cause significant backups during the morning and evening rush hours. The project is expected to last for 3 weeks. If your daily route takes you through that stretch of I-96, you will definitely want to map out an alternate route this weekend and plan for some extra travel time on Monday.
On a lighter note, the Grand Rapids Symphony has announced a new series of free community concerts, kicking off next Wednesday evening at Rosa Parks Circle in the heart of downtown. This is such a great initiative. The concerts are entirely family-friendly, and attendees are encouraged to bring lawn chairs and blankets. It is a perfect way to activate the downtown space and make world-class orchestral music accessible to everyone. The Wednesday performance starts at 7 p.m., and with the beautiful weather we have forecasted for next week, it should be an incredible turnout.
The agenda is heavily focused on Great Lakes water conservation efforts and strategies for expanding green spaces in urban environments. GVSU continues to position itself as a central hub for these critical statewide policy conversations. The conference will feature several keynote speakers from the Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, and will run from Thursday through Saturday at the downtown Pew campus.
That is going to do it for us today on Grand Rapids Daily. Thank you so much for joining us and starting your morning with our team.
We appreciate you tuning in. Get out there and enjoy that beautiful 80-degree weather this weekend. And remember, we will be right back in your feed on Monday morning with a fresh batch of local news.
Stay safe, West Michigan. We will talk to you then.